This is the OTB Television Network, a service of Capital District Off-Track Betting.
Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning, Saturday, December 5th, Cigar Mile Day. And we'll have plenty of discussion about the Cigar Mile, some of the undercard stakes at Aqueduct on this Saturday afternoon. Do keep in mind we're on early this morning, because there is an early post time at Aqueduct. They'll kick things off today at 11:30 starts the action at Aqueduct. Do also keep in mind there's a mandatory payout in the Empire 6 this afternoon. So keep that in mind as well as we move into the afternoon and you start to play some Aqueduct. You may want to jump in and take your shot at that Empire 6 mandatory pay. As I say, we'll have plenty of discussion about some of the stakes action. A little bit later on in the program, we'll be joined live by Ellis Starr, national racing analyst from Equibase. We just had him on last week, but I wanted to pull him on again today because last week he was kind of previewing a charity betting challenge that he was involved in last weekend. And I guess the participants did pretty well, so I wanted to give him a chance to talk a little bit about how they did for the charity betting out at Del Mar on the Del Mar Turf Festival Stakes last weekend. But we'll also take a look at some of the stakes action this week with Ellis as well. Also be joined in a few minutes by Anthony Stabile. We caught up with him yesterday, but previewing today's stakes at Aqueduct. I see Anthony, of course, on the pregame show with Andy every day. And so we got some thoughts from Anthony for, again, the stakes action today at Aqueduct. And a trainer with a couple of contenders in today. Kelly Breen will join us momentarily. We taped him again yesterday as well. Kelly with Frenzy Fire in the Cigar Mile. And as you'll hear, that may be weather dependent. And I just looked. It looks like it's raining down in the Aqueduct area currently. And it looks like noontime, 1 o'clock, it may let up today. But you'll hear, as I say, Frenzy Fire's participation may be a little bit weather dependent. And also in the Remsen, Kelly Breen has pick and time. He has a stakes runner in tomorrow's New York Stallion Series at Aqueduct. We hit on that one. And then he has a nice undefeated runner for Gary and Mary West. And we talked a little bit about that and what the plans may be going forward for that horse as well. So let's get underway. Up next, trainer Kelly Breen. Welcome back. We are joined now by trainer Kelly Breen, who has a couple of nice solid contenders in the stakes action on Saturday. Now, the weather may affect that, and we'll certainly touch on that. But first of all, Kelly, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good. Happy to have you on board to talk a little bit about the Remsen and the Cigar Mile. And let's start out with pick and time in the Remsen. We're going to take a look while we talk at the stretch one of the Nashua. This was a nice win for pick and time. 10 for 10 was the favorite in here, but you go by him in the stretch, win by a chart margin of a little over four lengths. Pick and time is going to be the number four horse, 10 for 10 to number one. Both are back on Saturday. Talk a little bit about pick and time and how he came out of the Nashua and how he's coming into Saturday's race.
You know, he's been sharp, so happy with the way that he's training. He looks good, acting well. I think he's ready for another good effort.
And, you know, he had a nice workout on the 28th, which kind of indicates he is on his toes. You look down at his record and broke the maiden in the career debut at Monmouth on Independence Day and then came up and tried the Saratoga Special, which was really the only blemish on his record. Ran eighth that day. What was the takeaway from the Saratoga Special?
Well, you know, he broke horrible, and they ran fast. And if you watch the race, maybe from the 3/8 pole going around the far turn into the quarter pole, he's tried to make a little bit of a move. And then he just flattened out. If he just said, I'm done, you know, I tried a little bit. These guys are, you know, way in front of me. Traveled, just shipped up. All of that from Monmouth up to Saratoga, it is a decent drive, different track. I put a line through it, and since then he's been good.
As I say, 5 starts, 3 wins, a second, but this will be a little bit longer for him, the mile and an eighth. Now, did go the 2 turns over at Monmouth, but this will be the first time at the mile and eighth distance. Any concern about the distance?
You know, he's a big horse. I don't think it's a concern. I don't see any reason why he shouldn't get it. He is a big horse. He's a long striding horse. He's the kind of horse that's got to get motivated. It got to get going. You know, he doesn't have that really fast turn of foot, which kind of amazed me that he won that sprint stake at Monmouth Park. So he's versatile. He's more versatile than I thought he was going to be.
Yeah, and that leads me to my next question. When trainers have horses like this, 2-year-olds who prove to be a little bit precocious and talented, I'm always curious, when they get in the barn, do you know that immediately? Because it seems like some horses give it away immediately, some horses not so much, and they are maybe a little bit of a surprise when they win first out like that. What type was picking time?
He was a classy horse right from the beginning, and to get a horse in, I believe that he came into us last year, and everybody was just astonished that you don't see too many big, strong, strapping Jersey breds that come in. You know, you usually have 4 or 5 2-year-olds come get off the van, and you're looking for the, you know, I don't want to put a blemish on anything for Jersey breds, but that's what you usually get, you know. And he came in and he had his chest stuck out from day one. Like he knew from the beginning that he was something special, and he's kind of proved it.
What are your expectations on Saturday afternoon?
You know, I think if we sit at the trip, I think we'll have a really good performance.
And what's your game plan? What are your wintertime plans for picking time?
One race at a time right now. He's in New York. He likes New York. He's been doing good in New York. I don't see a reason for changing, but you never know.
All right, very good. Let's turn the page now to the Cigar Mile, and you and I were talking before we went on the air. Plans may change here, but Frenzy Fire aimed for the Cigar Mile. And while we talk, I'm going to pick up the replay in the stretch of the Vosburgh. Boy, this was a nice performance. Funny Guy's going to run second in here, the number 2. But Frenzy Fire, again, chart margin of over 2 lengths for a victory for number 5, Frenzy Fire. Subsequently ran 3rd in the Breeders' Cup Sprint. But I thought that was a pretty good 3rd. Yeah, he was closing where other horses weren't in the Breeders' Cup Sprint. How's he coming into Saturday's race?
Yeah, he looks good. He's got a lot of muscle. He didn't lose any weight from his trip to Kentucky and back. He's back in his stall. He's acting normal. It's good to see him. You know, it's from the Breeders' Cup till now. I went back down to Florida to see him now. He looks as good as he did going into the Breeders' Cup.
And what was your takeaway from the Breeders' Cup? Because, as I say, I thought that was a good 3rd.
You know, the winner just got a little bit of the jump on us. I think everybody that was there saw the speed bias track, and you're running in a sprint, and jockeys that would have normally have sat, I think everybody was going. And that was, you know, they didn't keep on going in our race. And I think that was just because of the mindset of all the jockeys. And this track is that speed bias, and we all have to go. And with everybody going, with a big field like that, somebody's not going to be able to make the lead, and that seemed to be us. We're just trying to watch the race, and you know, I was astonished when I think they called us either 10th or 11th. I was like, going down the backstride, what the hell? And he kicked it in. He ran well.
And what about the mile distance on Saturday?
If the way that he closed, going six furlongs against the best sprinters, I think that he's fine for the mile. You know, if anything, I hope that he doesn't make the lead too early, and I got to start looking for the wire, because I don't think there's anything wrong with the one-turn mile for this horse.
And as I said at the top of this discussion of the Cigar Mile, there may be some weather down in New York on Saturday. We're taping on Friday morning. What's the game plan going to be as far as you watching the weather and decisions for Frenzy Fire?
I know it's going to rain. It's just a matter of how much and then how the track is. We're supposed to get windy conditions. Sometimes Aqueduct, you know, it's right across the street from JFK, and that's like a wind tunnel right there.
Yeah.
I'll be there. I'll be, you know, as late as the stewards let me make a decision to see if it's a bad track or not. That's what I'll be on the phone with Ron Lombardi, for owner of Mr. Amore Stable, and saying, you know, do we pull the plug or do we run? So it could be a last-minute decision.
Well, we wish you a lot of luck with both of those stakes runners on Saturday's card. But before I let you go, I wanted to talk just about a couple other horses. On Sunday, you have It's Gravy in the New York Stallion Series down at Aqueduct. This horse still a maiden, but stakes placed in the aspirant up at Finger Lakes a little bit earlier. Third place finish last time. What are your thoughts on It's Gravy in the Stallion Series on Sunday?
Yeah, we're taking a shot. Obviously, we're taking a shot running a maiden, but to be a stakes race that's only allowed for the stallions and it's a lot of money, we can easily just go back to the maiden special weight after this. So if he doesn't win it, but, you know, we're sure. I don't know what to say other than do you go for a $70,000, $75,000 maiden special weight or taking one more shot for the big bucks when it's not even just registered New York bred, it's you have to be a New York bred stallion. So, you know, there's a couple of horses in there that they paid good, a couple of horses that ran well. The horse is doing good. He's first time gelding, trying to get him a little bit more focused, and he's training well.
And again, that's Sunday. And I wanted to get maybe future thoughts on one other horse, Full Impact. You have a nice undefeated runner for Gary and Mary West, Full Impact. Broke the maiden in the career debut back on October 14th, followed up in an allowance event on November 13th. So now two for two, and two really nice-looking wins. I saw he worked out just about a week ago. Anything planned for Full Impact for the next start?
No, I don't know. It was a pretty good effort. If I wait until after the new year to run him back, I'll talk to the team that they have for the West and what we're going to do. There is an allowance race coming up in December, but we might just give him a little bit of time. He ran a big race. Like I said before, it was a big effort and he's training. He looks good. He's a nice horse doing well.
As you decide on the future, do you look at the numbers, some kind of rags or thoroughgraph or whatnot, and kind of base things when you talk about a big effort? Do you take a look at that thing when deciding next start for some of your horses?
Yes. I mean, you have to look at all, you know, how he is doing after the race. How is he eating? How is he training? Is he training the same? Is he training any better? You know, how much time do we need in between races? You know, I've been following the sheep for a long time, and I've been studying the form for a long time. You know, I've been sitting on horses' backs for a long time. So I take everything into consideration. And, you know, as long as everyone here is patient and the horse is doing well, we'll wait and be patient and find the right spot for him.
And I just have to ask you one last question before you go. How did the fedora become your signature? Because I'm jealous. I have such a pedestrian fashion sense. I wish I was a little bolder. I like the look, but how'd you latch on to the fedora?
Going back to the early 2000s, I won a stakes race at Monmouth Park, and they had an overhead picture, and my hair was getting a little thin. And it was a little joke, and my wife said, you should start wearing a hat. And I tried on a couple different, and the fedora stuck, and now it's It's a regular everyday thing. I probably got up to, you know, close to 30 of them now.
Excellent. As I say, that's kind of your signature. And when you think of Kelly Breen, you think of the fedora. And as I say, I like it. I may have to bold up my fashion sense. Kelly, appreciate the conversation this morning. You're taking your time. And again, great luck Saturday afternoon with the two stakes runners and in the future as well. We'll talk again.
All right. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Kelly Breen, again, with a couple of nice contenders Saturday afternoon at Aqueduct.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player, to have a better knowledge of the game, to be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB. Become a better horse player.
Stone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
In front, but here comes High Chaparral. High Chaparral, the defending champ, to take it to Papa. These two are travels head to head with Joe Hart bearing down on them. It's going to be a three-horse photo finish in the turn. Here's the wire. Photo finish.
Thanks again to Kelly Breen for taking the time yesterday to talk to us a little bit about a couple in today, one in tomorrow, and maybe one to look for down the road. Good luck to him today. And again, we'll keep our eyes on scratches and changes as far as Frenzy Fire because the weather may affect him. As I said, when I looked earlier, it was raining currently down in the Aqueduct area. It looked like it may let up about noon or 1 o'clock. So we'll keep our fingers crossed that things turn out all right and Frenzy Fire gets his chance to run. I did pull up the Naira feed. There aren't any scratches and changes officially listed yet, but I pulled up the Twitter account for Naira, and they have said that the 7th race today is off the turf. So make that note. Race 7 is off the turf. We'll be running 6 furlongs on the main track. So that change can be noted. All right, as promised a little bit earlier, we will be joined now, again, talked to him yesterday, Anthony Stabile, the Big A. Wanted to catch up with him and get some of his thoughts on some of the stakes action today at Aqueduct, including, of course, the Cigar Mile, putting that exclamation point on the New York season. And so up next, it is the Big A, Anthony Stabile. Welcome back. We're happy to be joined now by Anthony Stabile. You see him on the pregame show down at Aqueduct, and I thought we'd reach out to him and get some thoughts on a very big day down at Aqueduct, really putting an exclamation point on the New York season with the last grade one of the year, the Cigar Mile. Anthony, good morning.
Morning, Scott. How are you?
Very good. Happy to talk to you about some of the stakes action, and let's dive right in. Oh, before I do that, though, I have to ask you, because I laughed. It was maybe a month or so ago. I was watching the pregame show with you and Andy, and who would have thought? You're a Hallmark Christmas movie guy.
Oh, my God. It's channel, it's 84 is Hallmark, 629 is Movie and Mysteries. They have Christmas movies on 24/7, except they have some home show on during the week on the regular Hallmark, Home and Family. Yeah, you just got to go right over to 629, the Movies and Mysteries, and it's Christmas movies all the time in the Big A house at this point.
I'm a feel-good movie guy, and they're all feel-good movies, but I have my limit on those Hallmark Christmas movies. But, yeah, I was laughing when I saw that. Oh, and I also wanted to just tip my cap to you on Thursday. You were in the booth for a couple of races, did a great job as always, so good job there as well. But let's jump in now, get some thoughts on the Remsen short field in here, and I have Kelly Breen on the show talking a little picking time. I kind of going to tilt for 10 to turn things around. But I wanted to show the replay of the maiden special weight win by Known Agenda, because I found it really intriguing that David Aragona made Known Agenda the morning line favorite at 8-5. I'm going to be interested to see where the betting public goes. But as I say, field of five, kind of a fun field. What are your thoughts on the Remsen?
Yeah, my Talking Horses partner, Andy Sherling, kind of agreed. I thought it was a no-brainer. This horse won at Aqueduct, going the mile and an eighth. It's John Velasquez and Todd Fletcher. I think he'll be a favorite. I think he's going to win. I don't think he's a cinch, but I certainly think he'll be the chalk. And, you know, with that win, and those two horses beat the field by such a long way when he won the photo in his maiden race. And I know Pick and Time won the stakes, and he's a multiple winner. And he has two-turn experience as well. I just think Known Agenda has a little more blue sky. They're the two for me, him over Pick and Time. 10-10, got to deal with the two turns. I know he has the big wind slop, and it's likely going to be wet. We got a lot of rain coming this way. But I thought Known Agenda and Pick and Time, with the experience, had a little bit of an edge.
Do you think Known Agenda will go off as the favorite?
I do. Yeah, no, and to be honest with you, I don't think it'll be close. I think people see Fletcher and Velasquez.
Okay.
You know, and listen, they've won over 1,600 races together, so kind of can't blame people at this point.
Oh, no.
And, yeah, I think it'll be the chalk.
Yeah, interesting. All right, let's move on to the Gopher Wand. Nice field of the older ladies in here. I just thought Nona Madeline may have the class, and I wanted to pull up a replay there. We'll watch the Lady's Secret going back to October 7th. She's the number 7. So, again, she just may have a class edge. I don't think she's a lead pipe cinch by any means, because I think Sharp Star is very interesting off the big win last time. Can the horse repeat that? That's the question. Portal Creek was maybe an interesting alternative to me, but what are your thoughts on the Gopher Wand?
I wish I knew that Sharp Star race came from on Breeders' Cup Saturday here at the Big A. I'll tell you this. She has a couple of bigger speed figures in the two-turn race. When she broke a maiden in the one turn at Belmont, she was real impressive. And then she went two turns twice at Saratoga, and she ran okay. Speed figures were a little better. But when she got back to the one turn at Aqueduct on Breeders' Cup Day, she was nothing short of sensational. You know, some of these fillies and some of these horses in general, they just prefer the one turn. Her style, where she's 2, 3, 4 lengths off the lead, make the one run, it is more conducive to the one turn. I know people think I make too big a deal of it. I don't think I do. I think the turns are really important. I just think she's a one turn kind of horse. Is she as good as that speed figure last time? I don't know. I'll tell you what, I've never been the biggest Nona Madeline fan. Stand for the Flags, the trainer change, and off the long layoff. Graceful Princess was kind of the sacrificial lamb last time. I'm not thrilled with Portal Creek and Overheated. I'm going to let Sharp Star prove me wrong. I think she's going to sit the right trip, and I think she's okay. Again, she, you know, the one-turn races has been really good at this mile distance, and I'm gonna stick with her.
Yeah, as I say, she's interesting to me off of that big number last time. Can she put two together? We will find out on Saturday afternoon. The Demoiselle, this kind of looks like a fun addition of the Demoiselle with the two-year-old fillies. Malathot certainly was going to take a lot of action. We're going to take a look at the Tempted here. Malathot is going to be the number 4. Win number 2 and start number 2 with a solid buyer figure for a 2-year-old at this time of the year. But I think Milfew is interesting for a Bill Mott off of the maiden breaker last time at the one-turn mile. Now stretches out in the third start of the career. I think I'm going to tilt in that direction. What are your thoughts on the Demoiselle?
I'm with you. I like the fact that our trainer ran Milfoy a couple of times at the mile. Never sprinted her at Saratoga. Didn't even sprint her when we got back downstate. It was a pair of mile races. She gained ground in both of them. She ran really well in both of those races. I think she'll appreciate the stretch after two turns. Look, Malathot's going to be one of the shorter prices on the card, and she should be. Her first two races have been scintillating. And she's got to deal with the extra eighth of a mile now. She's probably got to deal with a little bit of I think Millfield is going to be okay. I really do. The other horse that I think is still a little interesting is Malibu Curl from my man, Tavi Avatrani. Everything's been running for Tommy at this meet. She's stretching out. She's the daughter of Curl, and she stretched out as well. She ran well going 7th on closing weekend up at Saratoga. I wouldn't be surprised if she appreciated the stretch out and distance. She's got the 3 months under her belt to mature a little bit from the September 6th race, now December 5th. So 3 full months stretching out. I have from 7th to the 9th. She's going to be the price alternative in here. And I'm going to pick 4 and pick 5 guy. I'm going to have a ticket using
the three of them, and then I'll come back using Malathot and Neil Foyle. But Malibu Curl is a little bit of a spook in here, I think. The Philly at a price who I think could get a big piece of it.
That's very interesting because I was going to ask you about that horse. I have it down in the third spot myself. I thought the layoffs in Saratoga and stretching out off the two sprints up at Saratoga, I agree. That's interesting, the 6-1 morning line. I have that as kind of an interesting alternative as well. All right, finally, let's get some thoughts on the Cigar Mile, the highlight, as I say, the exclamation point of the 2020 New York season, last grade one of the year. Fun little field in here. Again, talked to Kelly Breen already, and he's going to be looking at the skies, certainly, with the potential weather. That may make a difference for Frenzy Fire going or not. Performer, I can't get past that win in the comeback, which was very good, and clearly the horse had shown promise before. So I have Performer on top, but I thought Mr. Buff was interesting. We're going to take a look at the Performer winning that comeback. This was a layoff of just about a year, 11 months. Performer, the number two horse, wins it pretty nicely for Shug and the Phipps Claiborne outfit. But as I say, Mr. Buff, against open company, 2 and 3 back, not so much. But I just thought maybe he was the one to play around with at a little bit of a price. Although, again, I have Performer on top. Your thoughts on the Cigar Mile?
I think you and I have the same racing form for Saturday. Look, he's done nothing wrong since his debut, Performer. I do believe it's his coming out party. I'll pay him the ultimate compliment. When you look at Performer in a lot of ways, I'm not saying he's as talented as him before everybody comes looking to lynch me. he looks a lot like Easy Goer. And that's something that's always going to be near and dear to my heart. And he's been good. I mean, 5 in a row since his debut. The race was really important. He was forwardly placed. He was only a couple lengths off the lead. He was down inside the whole way, and it was in the mud. And we're going to have a wet track. Now, that can change the landscape of this race dramatically. It looks like Frenzy Fire will come out. I was told Friday morning there's a good chance if it's sloppy that Mind Control is going to come out of here as well. That would knock it down to a field of 7 or 8, which is already 9. I think you got the right idea with Mr. Buff, Seth. Maybe Junior Alvarado just lets him run from the rip. I know there's a couple other horses in here, namely True Timber. Maybe King Yam is going to come back fresh. Snapper Sinclair is going to try this mile now. I just wonder if Junior, and I know this horse has not had a lot of success in open company, but he's 8-13 at Aqueduct, and he should be the controlling speed. Maybe Junior just lets Mr. Buff run from the rip. I don't know if he's good enough to beat the Performer. And he's probably a little bit better around the two turns, Mr. Buff. But he's run well at Aqueduct. The Empire Classic last time kind of showed that he looked like he was getting back in form. You know, he did a lot of good around here last winter. He loves it here at the Big A. And I think they're the two. I mean, I would be surprised if a Performer got beat, if I'm being honest with you. I think if anybody does it, though, I think Mr. Buff's the one.
Yeah, interesting addition of the Cigar Mile again. Putting a little exclamation point on the season, although the season will progress, and we will be watching you and Andy doing the pregame show throughout the course of the winter meet and beyond, and have appreciated. As I do the afternoon handicapping show, I go back and look at your selections, you and Andy, every day, and really going right back to Saratoga. You've been on a nice little roll. So, yeah, Anthony, I appreciate the conversation. I appreciate the thoughts, and we will talk again.
Anytime, Seth. And if I don't talk to you and the folks watching on Capital OTB, I've had a great time with you this year, dating back to, when we ran the unusual Belmont Stakes all the way through the Saratoga meeting now. Hope everybody has a happy and healthy holiday season.
Anthony, appreciate it. Same to you and your family. We'll talk again, as I say. Anthony Stabile, NYRA Racing Handicapper. You watch him on the pregame show. Some thoughts on Cigar Mile Day. Thanks to our good buddy Anthony Stabile for jumping on, giving us some thoughts on the Cigar Mile card stakes today at Aqueduct. Again, a reminder, 11:30 post time today. Mandatory pay in the Empire Six, $67,000 in the kitty. So you can jump in and take your shot there. And again, the 20-cent increment, you can put together a decent little ticket for the Empire Six today and take your shot. Yeah, they'll... Unfortunately, somebody pulled down the big pot last weekend, so we don't have the six figures. But still, on these mandatory days, they will juice that up nicely. I do want to remind you today, there is a double promotion here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany, $100 win a bet and a match bet promotion. That all happens again today here at the Clubhouse Racebook. Tomorrow you can catch at the same venue all the football action and all the racing action, NFL Sundays throughout the football season, right here at the Clubhouse Racebook, football and racing Sunday afternoons. Do remember that we have thoroughbred nighttime racing tonight, so a little Turfway if you want to jump in on that. Keep that in mind. Los Al opened up their abbreviated season yesterday, so you can keep that in mind as well. Just I wanted to toss out one little note. Mike Smith tested positive for coronavirus. He had a couple of mounts this weekend at Los Al, so he's obviously going to miss those and hopes to get back maybe next week. He is reported he's asymptomatic, no symptoms, but I'm assuming, you know, with the jockeys, probably tested fairly regularly, so came up with a positive test on Friday out there. So Mike Smith on the sidelines for a little while. But as I say, the good news there is asymptomatic as it is. All right, we'll take a break. And as promised a little bit earlier, when we come back from the break, we will be joined by our friend Ellis Starr, the national racing analyst from Equibase. We'll get a little recap of his charity betting event last weekend, concentrating on the Del Mar Turf Stakes. But we'll also take a look at some of the action coming up on this Saturday afternoon as well. All of that right after this. Stay tuned. Having trouble finding us? It's actually quite simple. Whether online or on your TV, it's never been easier to watch and wager on championship horse racing with Capital OTB. Simply log on to CapitalOTBBet.com. There you can watch our morning shows, live stream races, and wager on our state-of-the-art wagering platform. You can also watch from the comfort of your home on Spectrum Cable Channel 1250 or Fios Channel 467. And win more with Capital OTB.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play. In a recent study of some of the top online wagering sites, Capital OTB won big in total player rewards, far surpassing some of the best-known wagering sites in America. While other rewards programs simply offer you points redeemable for gift cards, Capital OTB's rebates are paid to you in actual cash. Plus, Capital OTB gives you full and immediate access to your money. So if all you're getting now are points and gift cards, join Capital OTB Player Rewards today and get cash back. Visit CapitalOTBBet.com and sign up today.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. As promised before the break, we are joined now by our friend Ellis Starr, national racing analyst for Equibase. Ellis, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. Good morning, racing fans. Happy Saturday.
Yeah, happy to have you on board and talking a little bit about this weekend. But normally we don't go back-to-back with guests, but I wanted to have you on this weekend, even though we had you on last weekend, because last weekend you touted a little bit the betting challenge, the charity betting challenge that you were going to be involved in. And it sounds from all accounts like it was a very nice weekend for the charity and the teams that were playing along. And so just once again, kind of set us up and remind us how it all played out. And then I do have a replay of what I think was one of the better races, the Cecil B. DeMille, where it sounds like you guys knocked it out of the park. So just kind of lead us into that a little bit. As I say, remind us how it all played out.
Well, this was the Gamble for Grayson Charity Challenge benefiting the Grayson Jockey Club Research Foundation, which could always use donations. Of course, it's very challenging this year. And Christina Blacker and myself were each provided with $500, as were, that was Team Equibase, and then Team Little Red Feather, which is very well known for a lot of good horses, consisting of Gary Fenton and Kenny Main from ESPN. And we all made our bets, and it was three races on Saturday and two on Sunday. And Christina and I talked, and this is the second one where I feel blessed to have done so well. We did the same thing on Breeders' Cup weekend where we made over $4,000 for the Jockey Club Safety Net Foundation. And so we discussed our strategy, and on day one, we decided to go. I took a little bigger swings, and she was more conservative. And I think I ended up with $230 from $300 bet, which is not what you want, because you can just give them the $300 instead. But then on Sunday, we discussed the two races, and the Cecil B. DeMille you talked about was a two-year-old stake for the boys. And, you know, I like the horse named Beer Can Man. He happened to be owned by Little Red Feather. And we discussed the strategy. Christina said, you know that Gary is going to be betting to win. So I made the same $100 win bet. And, you know, if you want to show it.
Yeah, we are taking a look at the stretch run here. Beer Can Man is the number four horse.
I lost my voice because I was so excited. I mean, I had some money on him myself. But he sat the perfect trip in third. He fit on all. He was 8-1 morning line. And I had been watching the odds. And when I saw the tote in the stretch, he was 19. I went, wait a second. And so that other little trifecta and other things I hit on Saturday, both Gary and I hit this one and prepaid $2,060 for a $100 bet. And so we ended up combined between Little Red Feather and Echo Base teams. We raised over $4,000, a little more than that, actually. I just sent a check for $2,400, so $4,400 to Grayson for this. And it was just a great feeling. And as I said, going in last week, there's also some pride there trying to beat guys and gals that know what they're doing. So I won the little four-man contest as well, even though there's nothing there except for a little boast for that one.
Now, that's, again, watching that one come down the stretch at 19-1 with a $100 win wager for the charity, you had to feel great. I know during the summertime, OTB handicappers kind of alternate each day in the Albany newspaper, the Times Union. We have our selections in there during the Saratoga meet, and every day the handicapper that's in has $50 to play on behalf of a charity. And I know it's always a lot of fun when you're in the newspaper and you can win a little money for the charity. So that must have been a great feeling to see it come down the stretch and have a nice day like that. So again, I wanted to bring you back on and have the follow-up for people, because that was a knock it out of the park kind of a result. So congratulations.
Thanks. Well, I mean, again, we turned 500 into 2,400, and they did 500 into 2,000. And that's just wonderful because, you know, it's challenging and just lucky, you know, in terms of getting the right horse and the right bet. And if anybody out there has any more charity bets want me to participate in, just hit me up, let me know.
Yeah, and as you say, it's a year where the charities are probably looking for a little boost, and so, again, great work there. All right, let's concentrate a little bit on this afternoon, because, again, we'll take a look at a couple New York stakes, and they have the Claiming Crown down at Gulfstream. You might have some ideas there as well. And let's start out with the headliner. At Aqueduct, the Cigar Mile. It'll be race 10 this afternoon. It'll go off about 4:15, one-turn mile, as the name indicates, grade one event, $250,000 up for grabs. And this is your race of the week if folks go to the Equibase website. And like you, performer, just on the comeback was so impressive. I'm going to be anxious to see what he did today. I put him on top. My kind of clever horse was Mr. Buff. I thought Mr. Buff out of the Empire Classic would be very, very interesting. But we're going to take a look at what I think is your clever horse that you're using in the mix, and that's King Guillermo. We're going to go back to the Arkansas Derby. Nadal, who a lot of people at the time thought was one of, if not the best three-year-old, winds up being the winner, the number five horse. King Guillermo is the number four and runs second. The knock is that this was the last time King Guillermo was seen. This is back on May 2nd. So the question mark is the comeback today, early in December, and how fit and ready will he be? But I'll let you talk a little bit about that one and the Cigar Mile overall. Your thoughts?
Well, I hadn't seen the morning lines when I did this, of course, for Equibase and America's Best Racing. And so seeing a performer at 7-5, it may not be as playable race that I like, because I think he is tough. But I have two wise guy horses here. King Guillermo first, because first of all, because this is a one-turn mile, I'm not concerned at all about layoff. Two turns, I'd be a little more concerned, but this is just a long sprint as far as I'm concerned. And he put in a really strong, he put in a pair of 46 and change half miles, November 1st to November 20th. So I think he's fit. And the fact that Jose Ortiz is getting on makes me no concerns at all. The other one, and by the way, I think I heard that Friends Fire is probably going to be declared, just like the slot much. But there's a couple of vulnerable low-outs where persistent here. And no knock on Mr. Buffett. If you get a price, you surely should bet him. I loved him a lot, either the Suburban or the Whitney, and he just disappointed. He didn't get the lead he needed that day. He may not hear as well. But in open company, I just don't like his chances much. But my other horse is Snapper Sinclair, who's been 3 for 5, first or second on and off track. He hasn't run an aqueduct, but in the winter at Oaklawn, I mean, he ran big. He got up 3-length lead and lost by a neck in the fifth season stakes in January on a sloppy track. And then again in the Essex, he ran second to Night Ops after leading most of the way. And he's coming in off a couple of deceptive races on grass. I think it's one of the reasons why he's probably double digits in the morning line. He ran second and third with Leperu and Saez. One's the Tourist Mile, which turned out to be a pretty good race because Ivar came back to win the Shadwell. And then another one at Churchill on turf. So sloppy dirt is to his liking. And he's a city zip anyway, which you expect would like the slop. So I think I'm going to key him in exact as box him with Performer 3-1 and box him with King Guillermo 3-6. And that's the way to make money. I still might make a win bet on King Guillermo, though, because I think he is pretty good here. Performer could be something special, though.
Yeah, I'm anxious to see what he does here in the second start back of the season. I had Snapper Sinclair at the bottom of my mix. That's a horse I've always liked. I just could not leave him out. So I'll be rooting for that one to get a little action as well. All right, let's go back to a race earlier on the card, the Demoiselle for the two-year-old fillies. Grade 2 event, mile and an eighth. Malathat clearly is going to attract a lot of attention off the first two starts for Todd Pletcher, including the win in the Tempted. I am going to take a little pop with Milfew, the Bill Mott runner, who broke the maiden in the second start last time, stretches out off the 2 1-turn miles. I think he's interesting. I have Malathat in the third spot. But I wanted to take a look at maybe another kind of clever horse. Mike Callahan and I did the stakes preview for the weekend, and we both thought maybe Malibu Curl could be an interesting alternative if you wanted to play around. We're going to take a look at the September 6th Saratoga Maiden Breaker. Malibu Curl is going to be the number 5 horse in here. Couple of starts. This was nice improvement from start number 1 for Tommy Albatrani. I'm a little bit intrigued by the layoff angle of this, but I think it's an interesting horse, as I say, off a couple of sprints up at Saratoga, stretching to the 2 turns. Again, if folks are looking for an alternative, I found Malibu Curl maybe a little bit interesting, but what were your thoughts in the Demoiselle?
I can't argue with Malibu Curl. I kind of said 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I would not use 6, 7, 8 anywhere here. I don't think they fit. And Malathat's going to be overbet. I mean, this 4-5 line, but she's a curling, as is Millifuel, as is Malibu Curl. And curling gets a nice number of two-year-old winners. I think I have a number here. Stats Raceline's pointed out 9 furlong stakes, just 9 furlongs only, 19 for 106. Pretty good. That's a pretty good number, 20%. And then two-year-olds, a very good number. 7 foals, I believe, five of them have won stakes as two-year-olds. It's just... He gets a lot of good two-year-old winners. But Malathat's not a standout. And I really like the two-year-old races, as you know, not last week just with the Cecil B. DeMille, but I like two-year-old races. I think these are races you can make money.
Yeah.
So I got Millifuel on top. By the way, she's a half to – I'm not a half, I'm sorry. I love the pattern. Second, first time out, then a win. Bill Mott did the exact same thing. I wouldn't have seen this again without Stats Raceline. It's not a plug, but I was looking at Mott's record maiden win to stake. And I looked up, and one of the first horses that came up on the query was Lake Avenue, who won the race last year. It was the exact same pattern. It was a runner-up finish, and then a win, and then the Demoiselle. So I got to take Milfew. I'd love to get 7-2 here. I use Malathat. I'm using as my little wacky horse to throw in the Try and Traffic Lane, the other Pletcher, and Malibu Curl in second and third with the Malathat and Milfew. Dollar Mountain's interesting. I might make a couple of dollar bet to win. That 5-length win was good. Traffic Lane came back to win off of that, improved 7 Equibase points. And I just can't get away that the figure is about the same as Millifuel. I just think Millifuel is good because she proved a lot of maturity she showed coming from fourth in her win last time out. And just that play with Mott going maiden to stake, it's just such a high percentage. He's 5 for 11, by the way, the number I got here. 8 for 22 the last 2 years. Going back, maiden last out winners winning their second start. So almost more than 33% when Mott gets a horse off a maiden win, they went back to back and at 2 year olds.
I'm right with you there. I like Milfield as well, and we'll see how that plays out this afternoon at Aqueduct on a nice card highlighted by that Cigar Mile. Let's shift our attention now to Gulfstream. It's become a tradition down there to kick off the championship meet with this claiming crown, which is kind of fun. Tips the cap to the workhorses of the racing game, the claiming runners, and it's always fun to see how strategically these horses are placed. Some of them have been claimed in the last start or the last couple of starts, and you have to think the connections were thinking, yeah, let's take a shot at the claiming crown purse a little bit later in the year. We'll take a look at the Emerald, race number 7 on the card this afternoon on the grass at a mile and a 16th. And fun event, as pretty much the entire card is offering these kind of nice betting opportunities. Boy, you can take a look and just say, give me a Mike Maker horse in here. He's got 5 in the body and had one more out on the AE list, I think. I'm going to take a look at a replay from the Tropical Turf, and we're going to take a look at number 6, Tusk. But again, this was the last time we saw Tusk. Tusk, again, the number 6 in here, a nice winner for Safi Joseph, but this was back in January. So Tusk, the concern, clearly is going to be the layoff. You get past that, and you look at Hieroglyphics for Mike Maker, Temple for Mike Maker, Mugs-O-Matic, Artie's Rumor, all the Mike Maker horses look live in here. Tusk, the question mark for Safi Joseph, is this one going to be ready off the layoff? And there are a couple of recent works that are pretty good that says probably should run in here. What are your thoughts on that Claiming Crown Emerald?
Well, it's a great race. I mean, you got 12 plus 3 also eligibles. You're going to end up with 12, which is fantastic. 5 makers, 3 Safi Joseph, 6 makers if you include the also eligible. I made the race 4-11-2. 4 is Temple, 11's Over the Channel, 2 is Artie's Rumor. 4-1, 5-1 on these 2 makers. I think it'll hold up fairly close. So I think there's value in even a 3 or 4 horse exacta trifecta here, because there's going to be no heavy favorite. And this is a race where you do that. I like Temple just a bit more. I would add one thing before I do that. You mentioned something fans, if you handicap these races today, a recommendation. Definitely look for horses that were claimed recently, because it is with this race in mind. You're absolutely correct in my opinion. Also look for horses that dropped into the claiming price of 25,000 or less in their last 2 or 3 starts, because that's another occasion where a guy's going to take a chance, hope nobody claims the horse, and then the horse is eligible for these races with $95,000 purses, which is, you know, $60,000 the winner, which they're not going to make in those $25,000 claimers. So those are 2 factors. Anyway, back to Temple. Maker claimed Temple back in July of last year. He's done a lot of good since then. Good races, minor stakes. One is Gio Ponti. You talked about the Tropical Turf. His horse was well regarded enough to be in the Twilight Derby last November 2019. That last race I like a lot at Keeneland, October 17th to Segoy, was getting to the winner every step of the way, gets Gaffalione, of course, and they both won the Keeneland titles on the strength of each other, because Maker gave Gaffalione so many good mounts. Just like the way the horse runs, 4-for-8 at Gulfstream. So the horse hasn't run at Gulfstream since last winter, and those were stakes. And then as a 2-year-old, won a bunch of races at Gulfstream. I should say early 3-year-old last summer, winter, spring of 19, where he went 4-for-10 on the year. So Temple's number 1. Artie's Rumor, 2nd off the claim. Maker is so astute at claiming horses and moving them into stakes. What's interesting here, and this is, I guess, a testament to Maker and also to watch when you handicap these races. Artie's Rumor was protected for over a year and a half. I only go back to August of 2019. Always allowance races, non-claim, then starter allowance. Dropped in for 40,000 September 10th. Maker was right there to take him out of that race, out of a nose loss, and put him at a second level allowance, and he won nicely by a nose. Now he gets Irad. It's 2nd off the claim. He fits here. The wind came at the distance. He's won 10 for 33, 9 for 23 on grass. So those two. And then the price horse is Over the Channel, the 11 for Dave Fox. I like this record of 5 for 6, 1st or 2nd at Gulfstream. And the last 5 races, 2nd, 2nd, 1st, 1st, 2nd. There were at the summer meet, took some time off, I think, pointing for this race. Off from August to October, came back and ran 2nd in a classified allowance, gets Paco Lopez. And it's 15-1, which there's going to be very few times at the meet where you're going to get Paco at 15-1. So I grab it here. So I'm looking at win bets on 2 of these. I'm going to play them in exacta box, and then play them first and third and trifectas for everybody in the middle. For those who don't know, it's a very cheap bet. So, for example, 2-4-11 overall over 2-4-11 for 50 cents is a $30 bet. So you play a $5 exacta box is 30, the trifecta is 30. You got them covered if they come in first and second or first and third. And if they come in first, second, and third, you win both bets. So that's how I'm playing this one, Seth.
Very good. And finally, let's take a look at the Claiming Crown Jewel, mile and eighth on the main track. And Jesus's team is clearly going to take a lot of action off the second place finish behind Nixco and the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. But I think it's an interesting race. Leitone is a long shot who I think has the potential to rebound to an effort that would put that one right in the mix. But I pulled up a replay of Indiana Grand back on October 19th. And we're going to take a look at Treasure Trove here. Treasure Trove is going to be the number 7 horse. Again, claimed out of that race by Mike Maker. And you have to wonder if he wasn't thinking Claiming Crown. Tyler Gaffleon going to jump on board this afternoon. So to me, Treasure Trove is interesting in the Claiming Crown Jewel. What are your thoughts?
Well, even if it wasn't a Claiming Crown, it was a great claim. You got a horse that's won 120,000 this year. He's 4 wins in 4 seconds out of 10. So as soon as he drops in for a tag, Maker's going to take him. And he took him, and it happened to be that was a race that was scheduled for grass run on dirt. So he proved himself on dirt. He'd won on dirt before. He was 3-for-10 going into the race. He gets Gaffley on the number one guy. That's my second pick. My top pick's the one Storm Runner for Dale Romans. I think the same thing here. The horse had been off November to June. Came back at Churchill in June in a 20,000 claiming. The first time he'd ever been in for a tag. He won by 8. And then Romans kept him off till November 4th, which is a month before this. So I think he was seeing this. He was eligible for a starter. He put him in a starter on the grass. Maybe there was a dirt starter that didn't fill. And he won by a half a length. He gets the rail. He's got great tactical speed. He'll probably be second or first from the get-go. He's 4-1. Treasure Trove 7-2. Jesus' team, you know he's going to be odds on. I mean, coming out of graded stakes, it looks like a gimme. But his last win really was in a 25,000, not one as a 2 claimer. So he is a claiming level horse. He's been good against these. And I'm not questioning who he ran against, but I mean, he was 2nd to Pneumatic. He was 3rd to Mystic Guide. Yes, he was 3rd to Swiss Skydiver and Nick's Go and 4th to Authentic. Those are, horses that'd be 1-20 here. But he doesn't have to win the race, even though Luis is riding. So I think I'm going to get kind of creative here and play Storm Runner and Treasure Trove over his team over Storm Runner and Treasure Trove and a trifecta, maybe $5 is not going to be that much money. But my win bet's probably going to be on Storm Runner here. I think he's seasoned. I think Dale sees this. I think he has tactical speed. But Treasure Trove, I can't argue. And it was another good claim by Maker. In this race, Maker's only got 1 as opposed to 5 in the other.
Yeah, a crafty claim for sure. Ellis, appreciate the thoughts on some of the stakes action this afternoon. And again, congratulations on the nice charity performance last weekend. As always, appreciate the visit, and we'll talk again.
Thanks for having me on. Everybody go make a lot of money today.
That's the game plan. Thanks a lot. Ellis Starr, National Racing Analyst for Equibase. And again, his race of the week this week, if you go over to Equibase or America's Best Racing, is the Cigar Mile, so you can check that out. All right, let me just kind of wrap things up here. And again, I'll hit on a little more news. I mentioned Mike Smith did test positive for COVID. He only had a couple mounts this weekend. They're at Los Al right now for that abbreviated meet. He is asymptomatic, hoping to come back sooner rather than later, but we'll see how that works out for Mike Smith. Also wanted to mention the National Museum of Racing and Hall of Fame has announced the return of the Photo Finish Juried Photography Exhibition, which gives you an opportunity to get your photograph on display at the National Museum of Racing and Hall of Fame up in Saratoga. If you go to the website, and I think I might have had it up here. I may have changed it, but it said news, and then or you had to pull up. Let me see if I can grab this quickly so I can tell you how to find it on the website. Top of the page, there's an about drop-down menu. When you hit the about, and again, this is the National Museum of Racing and Hall of Fame website. You can just Google that. But the about menu, open that up and then click on news, and you will find an article about that, which then also gives a link to the application that allows you to enter your photograph. So if you had a good photograph, a racing racing scenes, portraits. Oh, there you see the page right there that you can take a look at. And again, drop down menu, news, and the top article does mention the photography competition or exhibition. But again, racing scenes, portraits, human and equine, whimsical, morning workouts, retired racehorses, all are welcome. It's up to the photographer to interpret the theme, and you can submit until May 10th, 2021. Also, if you go to that page, there's a link to the current photos, the photos from the most recent exhibition, and you can kind of get an idea of the type of photographs that they're looking for or maybe most likely to be selected for the exhibition. But I thought that was fun. If you have a photo, have a chance to be in the National Museum of Racing and Hall of Fame. The handle and purse numbers came out for November. There was a slight decline in November, went down just over 6%. Interesting, though, that wagering throughout the year, in a strange, very strange year, down just about 1.5%, a little under 1.5% for the entire year, which just incredible. That said, purses have taken a hit. Race dates have taken a hit. Races have taken a hit. Field size, however, has gone up a little bit with the number of races contracting. That logically means horses are searching for spots and field size has gone up a little bit. But again, year to date, the number being negative so low, as I say, under 1.5%, that's notable. Things did go down a little bit in November, however. And as I say, purses have taken a hit during this period. But again, we have a vaccine maybe on the horizon. And so hopefully as we get into 2021, and certainly as we get late winter into spring, and by the time Saratoga rolls around next year, yeah, I've been doing it right along, knock wood, things will start to return to normal in the world as well as the racing world also. All right, but I've set out right along as well. The racing game has done a great job of continuing and giving us some diversion and fun. And so if you're, you know, looking at the news and kind of thinking, I don't know whether I want to go out, I'm going to kind of hang out on this Saturday, hang out with us, watch a little OTV this afternoon, and enjoy some really fun racing. Again, at Aqueduct, the Cigar Mile Card with the two-year-old races, the Remsen and the Demoiselle, the Gopher Juan, and Claiming Crown down at Gulfstream, and should be a lot of fun this afternoon. And again, we are offering nighttime thoroughbreds tonight as well here on the network and via CapitalOTBBet.com, so keep that in mind also. All right, once again, I got to keep reminding because it's a little bit different. It's an early post time at Aqueduct today, 11:30. So we're about an hour and a half away. I believe the NYRA pregame show is going to kick off in a little over 10 minutes. I think 10:10 is the pregame show from NYRA. So I'm going to wrap things up. I'll be back in with an 11:30 post time. I'll jump in for OTB Live a little before that. So I will be back in a little under an hour and a half to kind of kick things off for Saturday morning slash Saturday afternoon of OTB Live. We will be looking at some Aqueduct, obviously some Gulfstream, a little Tampa as well this afternoon, and more. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to having you come back and join me for OTB Live. Happy you tuned in this morning for Racing Across America. Hopefully we gave you some ideas for this afternoon to make a little bit of money. That's always the game plan. So again, thanks for tuning in. Stay tuned. Again, a couple of minutes down the road, the NYRA pregame show, about an hour and a half, I will be back with OTB Live. So we'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off Track Betting.